Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. We know it's a child's dream, writing to Santa for gifts. But this year, the dreams are so simple, so heartbreaking, that the postmasters who get those letters are speaking up, sharing letters from eight-year-olds asking for clothes for their little brother and sister because mom and dad don't have jobs, and they're worried. Letters asking for mom to be happy again. This hour on Point, letters to Santa that tell us where we are. You can join the conversation. Have you been hearing these letters, these children's simple wishes? Is there a better barometer of hard times out there? Are you responding? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. Joining me now from Chicago is Julie Kenny. She's Customer Relations Coordinator for the Chicago Area U.S. Postal Service, and she's heading up the Operation Santa initiative there. Julie, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show today.
It's great to have you. Also with us from San Francisco is Augustine Ruiz. He manages communications for the U.S. Post Office in the Bay Valley and Sacramento districts. Augustine Ruiz, thank you very much for being with us, Gus.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to everybody. You know, I came into this, and you come in dry-eyed. You see all the news every day, and then you start going through these letters, and pretty soon you can just barely keep it together. I mean, everybody's been seeing these. So many postal people have been speaking up about it. We heard one, this one out of Scala, out of New York City, kind of what I was referring to there. She says, I'm 8 years old. My sister's 7 years old. My brother is one. I behaved good in school, and my sister, too. My mom doesn't have a job. She's writing to Santa Claus here. I only want clothes and shoes for me and my sister and my brother. My wish is shoes and clothes. And then all the sizes there. And she says, you know, her dad's not there. He's in the Dominican Republic. Her grandma's not there. But this is what she's up against. And one out of your pile, Julie, just got me. This is from Sharon. And she says, my wish for Christmas is for my mom to be happy again. I mean, she doesn't ask for a single thing, Julie, in this letter. No single object, just for her mother, who doesn't have a job, to be happy again.
Yeah, that touched me too, this letter. It was sad.
She says, it's really hard seeing her so sad and not being able to provide for us. Just please help in any way that you can. This is a little girl asking Santa Claus. She deserves it. I pray, Santa, that you will brighten up her day. That's all she's asking for. Oh, my goodness. Julie, can you explain how Operation Santa Claus works? I think a lot of people until this year maybe not have even known it exists. What goes on? These letters come in, and what happens?
Sure. We get thousands of letters in Chicago. Anybody could write into Santa Claus asking for something. Mostly it is children, but now we're seeing a lot of families. So all the letters come in. We open the letters. Mm-hmm. We read them. We have to put everything into an Excel spreadsheet now, copy the letters, and redact all the personal information.
Right.
And then we put the copied letter out for the public to go through to choose the letter that they want.
And people can then step up and respond. And I should say we've got connections to what's possible here, though time is now short before Christmas at our website, onpointradio.org. Gus, in San Francisco, lots of people in post offices have been speaking up this year and saying, you know, this isn't the usual kind of letter we're getting. There's something else going on here. Have you seen that, the greater need, the starker kind of simple requests for help?
Yes, it could be as simple as a father just wanting to reconnect with his daughters. For instance, we have one where it is written by a father. Says, I don't want anything, but I do want you to transform and change the heart of my daughters and for them to love me. I know that's a lot, but please try. It's as simple as that.
That's from Mario, if I recall. That is a sign of stress. Stress in that family, maybe stress in the whole economy, Gus.
It could be caused by the economy. We really don't know what's causing that, but here's a father who just wants to reconnect with his daughters.
Julia, I'm really struck in these about how simple the things are, and not just kids writing to Santa Claus. I mean, you've got one here from Deanna. I don't know if you've got that at your fingertips, Julie.
I do. I have it right here.
What'd she say?
It says, Dear Santa's Helpers, Hi, my name is Deanna. I'm a single parent with four kids, two boys, two girls. I lost my job and my unemployment has ran out, so I am asking for a helping hand this Christmas. They are getting older, so they don't need any toys. What they really need is some clothes. The kids are growing up so fast, they are growing out of everything. I would like to thank you for reading my letter, and may God bless you and have a Merry Christmas. Thank you, Deanna. And then she lists the children's names and sizes.
And
it says, gift cards are also welcomed.
So she's looking for clothes for her kids. Now, for example, that letter, do you know if someone's responded to that, Julie, or is it just sitting out there?
This has not been responded to yet. It's just, it's in the trays.
Do you see the difference that we're hearing from people around the country? We've heard a lot out of New York, them saying, gosh, this is not the same, you know, that often, you know, kids are asking for fancy toys or something, but it's different this year, Julie.
Very much so. A lot of children, they're asking for coats, shoes, like you said, just basic needs, comforters, blankets. We have some that say that they just have an apartment and they don't have any furniture, no blankets, no sheets. Simple things they're asking for.
I'm looking here at letters out of Atlanta and the awareness of kids. I mean, here's an 11-year-old saying, my mommy tries her best to make Christmas the best for me. I usually get one thing, like a doll, because she doesn't have much. And another child trying to make sense of this saying, writing to Santa Claus, right now America is in a recession, and due to that, my mommy lost her job. She's struggling. I mean, Gus, you can see, you can hear those struggles in these letters.
You can't see them, and some of these kids are gripped with what is affecting them, especially with what they see with their parents. I have one here from Octavio who's basically saying that he's really writing for his brothers. Mm-hmm. He says he's 10. His brother is Emilio, who's 9, and Danny is 3. My mom is very sick this year. We won't be able to celebrate Christmas this year. My brother Emilio and I are disabled. My brother Danny is okay. I would like Transformer toys, and Emilio would like a remote control cars. Please, Santa, come visit us and make my mommy well.
Wow.
It's as simple as that.
And not just little kids. I was struck in your pile, Julie. There was one from Jane here. And she's got Jonathan is here, I meant to say. And he's not a little kid. He's have you got that one? Playing teenager.
I do. It says, Hi, Santa. My name is Jonathan. I live with my mother, and my dad died this year from cancer. I am a junior in high school. Right now, I am on the honor roll. I play basketball and football. This year, I need a coat, size large in men, a pair of jeans, a hat, glove, and scarf set. A gift card, if possible. Thanks, Santa. Have a Merry Christmas, Jonathan.
Jonathan's a junior in high school. What do you make of that, Julie? This is not a little kid, you know. This isn't somebody who's, like, sitting up all night thinking Santa's on the rooftop. Maybe he's junior in high school. But he's writing to Santa Claus. How do you interpret that? Does he know maybe this will get him a coat? Or is he just that desperate? I mean, I know you don't know for sure, but what do you make of it?
Right. I think people are desperate. It's desperate times. You know, obviously he knows they're about Santa Claus at junior in high school. He's hoping somebody answers his letter. He needs just basic things.
And what about the volume of these letters this year? Is that the same? Is it different?
Well, actually, in Chicago, last year, we received about 35,000 letters. This year, well, it is early. It's still not Christmas because mm-hmm. we did receive letters even after Christmas. We're at about 18,000 letters.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little bit down from last year, but it seems like most of the letters are for basic needs rather than the laptops and the iPods and all that.
And you see every kind of family situation revealed in these letters.
Oh, absolutely.
Gus, you've got one there. I'm sorry, Julie, but you got one from Levante. She says, Santa, hi, hope you've been okay. Do you see that one, Gus?
I don't have that particular one in front of me, but they're all kind of very similar regarding that. And getting to that point about mm-hmm. that teenager, I think it's the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of Santa Claus that they're reaching out to. And I think early when they were young, they believed in Santa Claus, and I think that spirit is still alive. And they're reaching out, and they know that message hopefully will be heard.
Here's one I think is somewhere in your pile in San Francisco. It says, Santa, hi. Hope you've been okay. I'm writing because my family has not been doing too well.
I have that one, yes.
Yep. Can you take it from there? You got it?
Certainly, yeah. It says, Santa, hi. Hope you've been okay. I'm writing because my family's not been doing well. My dad left home. My dad loves me, and I love him. I wish my family was still close. I see my grandma cry. I want her to smile for Christmas. Her family is not close at all. She loves me. I got to go back and do the right thing in school. She has been sick a lot this year. She tries to buy us presents. There's not a lot of money for her. I am 15 years old. My sister is 10 years old. She and I would like a gift card. Heaven also would like some shoes and a dress, size 12, 14. I wish my mother was happy, too. She likes to cook. And then P.S. I will try harder in school so everyone will be happy. I play football. I thank you for caring. Have a happy holiday. God loves us all.
Julie, they just need somebody to talk to. They need somebody to write to. Some little flicker of hope there.
This is a 15-year-old.
15 years old. It's not a little child.
No. But like I said, I think it's that spirit of Santa Claus that they know is out there and they still believe.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about letters to Santa this year. Desperate letters, heartbreakers, asking for basics in tough times. If you address a letter in this country to Santa or Santa Claus or Santa Claus North Pole, it goes to the post office. And many post offices have programs to open those letters and read them. And if possible, with the help of ordinary citizens, respond. We're talking with folks from a couple of those post offices right now. Julie Kenny joins us from Chicago. She works for the Operation Santa initiative in the Chicago area U.S. Postal Service. And Augustine Ruiz, Gus Ruiz, joins us from San Francisco, where he does the same. They've got letters all over this country. Post offices have letters this year asking for basics. Letters from kids, letters from teenagers, letters from adults. Let's hear from our listeners. Kristen in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Kristen, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, hi. This is Kirsten, and I want to congratulate you for being courageous, and I want to congratulate the postal workers. I get very angry when I watch the mainstream media right now talking about how the big, you know, the recovery's on and sales are up, and you know, I get angry too because the idea of recovering to what I think was previously a very sick state where we make consumption the measure of success, and, you know, we had our priorities wrong. But I think more it's more disturbing that I don't know whose agenda's out there, you know, trying to portray that everything's fine and dandy, but I really think that you've got it right, that, you know, things are really dire, and we're in a new world, and we need to do things differently. And I think the first step is to understand who and where we are and to try to do something about it. So I just wanted to congratulate you because your topic is not a popular one, and you're almost a lone voice right now in the media. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, Kirsten, I appreciate your call. I mean, you're right that we need to understand what's going on. What touched me in many of these letters was that the kids know what's going on, and they're responding to it. Here's one from Gus's neck of the woods. This is from maybe Hattie. It says, Dear Santa, Merry Christmas. It's so nice of you to fly around the world and give people presents. And she writes, this year, I don't really want anything in particular. I feel so lucky I have a roof over my head. She said, there's one thing I would love. It would be nice if you could give something extra to families less fortunate than others. I hope all your reindeers and elves are doing well. Say hi to them for me. Thank you so much. That's from Hattie coming into the San Francisco Post Office. Joining us right now from Cincinnati, Ohio, is Tina Osso. She's Executive Director of Shared Harvest. Shared Harvest runs or serves food pantries, soup kitchens, shelters in 5 counties in southwest Ohio. These days, about 1 in 10 of the population in her area is served by her group. Tina, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You're right out there on the front line. You see this all the time. Are you surprised by the tone of these letters that are coming into Santa in post offices around the country, by the very simple things, simple needs kids are asking for Christmas?
No, I'm not surprised. We see it every day. Kids are a lot smarter now than in past years, and it's easy for them to read the stress in their own families. And with this recession, everybody knows somebody, family, friends, neighbors, that's been affected.
I mean, these letters, Tina, we're trying to get a grip. Kirsten calls and says, you know, we hear a lot about recovery, and everybody's for recovery, but these letters have a Depression-era sound to them. And
well, the real fact of the matter is, nationwide, 1 in 6 Americans are struggling with hunger, and every fourth child struggles with hunger this year, this very year. So, I mean, if you think about what has happened in this country, we're facing children who are eating their free lunches at school on Fridays and having next to nothing over the weekend and trying to start school on Monday with an empty stomach, only thinking about what they're going to have for lunch that day.
You've responded to that in your neck of the woods by sending kids in families that just don't have it this year, sending them home with backpacks stuffed with food so that they've got something when they're not at school for the lunch.
Absolutely. Teachers, school counselors, nurses are identifying children who are chronically hungry, kids that exhibit physical signs of hunger, or behaviors like rushing food lines or hoarding food. And these kids are going on our backpack program. Last year, we were serving about 1,900 kids a week. Last week, we have 2,100 kids on the program.
Well, Gus, you've got one there. It's from Andrea McKelvey in California. It's this sort of, and she's writing about how her father died, heart disease, and what they're up against with homelessness there. She starts, "Dear Santa," this is from December 3rd. I don't know if you can see it there, Gus.
Is this the single mother, Andrea?
No, this is it the homeless? Yes, that's right. This is a mom writing.
Yeah, right. It's a mother that's actually writing in. She's a single mother of four, and she's writing to Santa Claus for help. She says, "My kid's father died from heart disease, and it's just really been hard for us." Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes, please. Could you read on there? It just
sure,
got me.
Sure. It says, "My kids are all doing well. They're all good students. They get good grades and have perfect attendance. My children, ages 21, 19, 10, and 8. And what she's really saying is last year, this time, we were homeless, staying here and there. All our stuff was stolen. Their clothes were stolen. My car is gone. Our place that we moved into is in jeopardy due to mismanagement. There were just things that are gone missing, and she lost her job on top of that, and we don't have anything. Please, Santa, could you make a Merry Christmas happen?"
Now, this is a carefully written, pretty long letter. Do you think she has reason to expect that the Santa Claus at the North Pole or via the post office is going to respond, or is this more like a prayer, Gus?
I think it's both. I think that individuals, especially adults, know that there are caring people in America, and they know that the Postal Service serves as a conduit to get to these people, and they're writing in the hopes that someone may come across this letter. And we try our best, and we try and get individuals and volunteers to help these families out as best we can.
And it's not just for themselves, Julie, that people write. You've got one there from Shyla, who's a caretaker for a little boy who's got health issues, and he and his mom are in trouble. And here's the caretaker writing to Santa Claus. Do you see that one? This is Jonathan.
Yeah, I have that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could you read that one for us? My name's Shyla. Yeah.
"Dear Santa, my name is Shyla. I am writing this letter for this 14-year-old little boy that I work with. I am his caregiver. A few years ago, he got hurt by a car that left him blind, paralyzed, and a little brain damaged. His mother is having a hard time getting him things for Christmas. I am hoping you can make him happy, kid. He would like something that talks to him. Race cars, books, clothes sizes," and she does give the clothes sizes, mm-hmm. "Twin size sheet sets, and a good Christmas dinner to cook. God bless, Shyla."
I mean, the boy is hit by a car. He's paralyzed. He's blind. He'd like something that talks to him. We can understand that. But the last line is what got me, Julie, just a good Christmas dinner to cook.
Right.
Talk about simple. That means she's not expecting that that's going to be there.
No. No, I have this letter from Carl.
Mm-hmm.
It's, "Dear Santa, I am writing to you for help putting food on the table for Christmas. We are having a difficult time. I lost my job. My unemployment compensation has exhausted. These are very tough times for the family. Gifts are nice, but having a hot meal for Christmas would be a blessing. Dear Santa, please help us. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to everyone. From Carl.
Gifts are nice, but having a hot meal for Christmas.
Right. That's all he wants.
It's a pretty modest wish. Mark in Norfolk, Virginia, thank you for calling, Mark. You're on the air.
How you guys doing?
We're pretty well. What do you think, Mark?
Well, no, I was just driving along. And I was listening to the comments, you know, and it really touched my heart. You know, I'm a big, husky, grown man. I mean, I'm a hard worker. Thank God I have a job to go to.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are pretty, you know, blessed. And, you know, but what I've done for Christmas this year is, you know, I made them downsize to the point. Some of the things that you guys do have, you're going to do something for someone else, you know. Whether it be, you know, volunteer some time when you're off in school in the soup kitchen. You're going to, you know, we give away secondhand clothes to try to, you know, fulfill anything. It just touches my heart that kids are asking for the necessities of life in the winter months. And, you know, we as a people have to do more the other 364 days of the year, you know.
Yes, you are right. And I agree. It's the simplicity of what they're asking for, you know. Coat and shoes and a sweater for my little sister, my little brother, and he, you know, here's the sizes for an 8-year-old to get that together and include it. That means, Mark, they really need it.
Yeah, you guys, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, so many people get caught up in these iPods and video games and laptops and things like that. And when you hear the letters that you guys are reading, the people, children for that matter, are asking for them bare necessities, like someone said earlier in the conversation, children are way smarter than you perceive them to be. And when, you know, mommy and daddy are out, you know, trying and really looking for work, and that unhappiness settles into a kid's heart, you know, they look at it, they see it, and they're asking for, you know, wow, Santa, can you just, you know, help my mom and dad or dad get a job? You know, that's very, very, very extraordinary for a kid to go through.
Yeah, Mark, I appreciate your call. Here's one from, again, from Gus's neck of the woods. Sanchez writes, I'm 14 years old, and for Christmas, I want clothes. You know, I need clothes for school. My mom doesn't have a lot of money. Says my mom can't buy for me for Christmas because she has 2 or 3 days of work a week now. You know, and she's using those to buy the food and pay for the rent. But clothes for school, please, says Sanchez. Sue in New Haven, Connecticut. You're on the air, Sue.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to comment similar to the previous caller, who thanked you for airing this program. I would also like to thank you and congratulate you for airing this program. For 2 years, we've been hearing daily about the bureaucratic scams that have been going on, and the reasons why these people have lost their jobs and lost their resources. But the rest of the media goes on with advertising and programming that makes you feel as though there are no people who are actually suffering from this. And I really want to congratulate you for bringing this to the forefront of American consciousness.
Well, what?
So I hope you have more programs like this, because somebody needs to put a face to the people who are actually suffering.
You know, Sue, I appreciate your call. What we're doing is pretty easy compared to what some of these kids are up against. What we're doing is nothing. Simone, but I appreciate your call. Simone, West Hartford, Connecticut. Simone, you're on.
Hi. I'm a retired teacher, but in the 1950s, I was a very poor child. In fact, so poor, I had to share a mattress with my three sisters on the floor, and our apartment on the Lower East Side was freezing cold much of the winter.
So you know.
Anyway, my mother had an opportunity to send me away for the holidays to a middle-class family, and I went. And I'd never seen a house before except on Leave It to Beaver. It was quite an adventure. They took me to they took me sledding. They took me to their restaurant that they owned, and to a big department store. And I pointed out a lot of different toys and dolls, et cetera.
Yeah. And this was just a middle-class family, and for you, that
was
another world.
You know, it was quite an experience. But anyway, I had no idea what was coming on Christmas Day. And that morning, the father in that family carried me on his shoulders down this beautiful staircase into a room. I realize now it was probably just a big foyer, but it was like just a room with a mm-hmm. Christmas tree, and mm-hmm. the whole floor was covered with gifts from Santa. And I was very shocked to learn that everything in the room was for me. It included everything I'd pointed to, plus an entire wardrobe. Of course, this made me very popular when I went back to Fifth Street because all the kids on the block got to play with my stuff. I didn't even realize that I should be thanking the family because I really thought that Santa had come.
Yeah.
And I was very surprised at how generous he'd been that year. And I guess what I want to say is that I returned to Fifth Street not just with the new wardrobe and toys, but a desire for a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one.
And what do you hear in these letters that we're hearing this year, Simone?
Well, it's so intense to me, really, because I can identify with these children. And I also get so disgusted at what I see as just tremendous waste and you know, lavish lifestyles that many people are living that are in that top, you know, 5 or whatever percent of the country. And I just I don't know, maybe I'm becoming a communist in my old age. I just want to see some redistribution of wealth.
How about just compassionate? How about that for a start?
Yeah,
how about that?
A little compassionate giving.
Yeah, Simone, I appreciate your call. You know, Tina, there in Cincinnati, I was just dumbfounded at this number. If it's really true that 1 in 10 people in your area are coming for your services in food pantries and shelters and soup kitchens, 1 in 10, is that true?
Yes, it's true. And to see the families standing in lines at our food pantries, you would never know that they're experiencing hunger and are struggling because they're wearing nice clothes and they're driving nice cars.
Why are they there then?
Because you can't eat your car. If you have had a good job and were able to acquire the things that make your life comfortable, and then all of a sudden you're downsized or your company closes and you're out of work, you're not only facing not having income, but you probably have credit card debt, you have mortgages, you have car payments, and all of a sudden the world comes crashing down on your shoulders, and you get up one day and you look in your kitchen and you realize there's no food to feed your kids when they come home from school. So you swallow your pride, you climb into your new car, you drive down to the food pantry, and you stand in line thinking, just last year I was donating to this food pantry, and here I am in need of groceries myself.
You've described that deer in the headlights look on people's faces absolutely. When they're in that situation.
Absolutely, because they have no clue. People have no clue who have never had to face these kinds of struggles before, have no clue where to go, who to ask for help, how to get help. And so and then when they're standing in line, they look around and they realize that all the people standing in line with them are just like them. And hunger is not a choice. It happens to you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about letters to Santa. This year, desperate letters, heartbreakers, asking for basics in our tough times right now. Tough times for many American families. The post office gets those letters addressed to Santa Claus, Santa, North Pole, and they put them into a system. Operation Santa, it's called. They open them. They read them. They redact the stuff that shouldn't be out there. They let people respond. We've got information on how that can be done, though it is getting late now. The time is short. But at our website, onpointradio.org, you can see how to respond here through the post office. But there are other ways as well to respond to the needs that are out there this year. Augustine Gus Ruiz joins us from the U.S. Postal Service in San Francisco, and Julie Kenny from the U.S. Postal Service in Chicago, where lots of letters have come in this year. And Tina Asso is with us from Cincinnati, Ohio. She's Executive Director of Shared Harvest there, with all kinds of services, shelter and food for an awful lot of people in her corner of Ohio. And Gus, you've got another one there. It's not just children. It's people dealing with children at Christmas time. Sometimes a lot of people in hard situations. You've got one there in San Francisco, Gus, from a grandmother who's had a whole lot of her grandchildren fall in her lap, and it's not easy. Could you read a bit for that?
Sure.
From that, Gus?
Absolutely. It is a lengthy letter, but you could tell that this woman, the grandmother, is pouring her heart out. Mm-hmm. She's a grandmother of 7 grandchildren, and she received full custody of them. And she's writing that it's been very hard to raise these children with a bare minimum of less than $800 a month plus food stamps from state welfare. And she writes that I try to shop wisely with the and be economical, mm-hmm. but it's very hard to do so. And her my health is getting very poor. So if possible, we need financial miracle from the government on better income. She would also like to start fixing up her new home for the children where they can all be comfortable and live in peace. And then she ends by saying, thank you for whatever wish that can be filled for the children and I, most of all, your time and love you give to us all over the world.
And there's a line in there where it touched me. She said she just liked some nice things, something for the kids to show them that they're appreciated for their schoolwork and for helping around the house. She doesn't want this holiday to pass without something for them, and she's got nothing.
Absolutely, and that's basically the core of this message, is that while she knows she can't afford to barely just keep the food on the table, she is hoping that they do get something because they are good kids.
Good kids. And she, the grandmother there with all that landed in her lap and her own health poor. Jerry in Cookeville, Tennessee. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, I'd like to thank your panel and everything, and especially the post office. These letters, I mean, it warms your heart in one way and then tears it out on the other side.
Yep.
It's just, you know, so tragic what's going on today. And I think if more people looked for what the meaning of Christmas is and who it's about, and maybe if they look to him instead of the government and other places, that might that would feel more than anything they could ever think of. Just thanks again for what you guys are doing.
No, it's a privilege. Look to the compassion in your heart here, not least. Linda, Montpelier, Vermont. Linda, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I've been listening to the letters. They've been breaking my heart. And I've been hearing your comparison to the Great Depression, and it sent me to my bookshelf. I have this book called Down and Out in the Great Depression, Letters from the Forgotten Man, edited by Robert McElvain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a collection of letters that were sent to the White House during the Great Depression, and it reminds me so much of what you're hearing in the letters to Santa. I pulled one out that says, Dear Mrs. Roosevelt, I think your clothes would fit me by your picture. Do not think me unworthy. I'm so badly in need of a summer clothes, coat and underthings, and dresses. I ask you, please send me anything you may have on hand that you don't care to wear yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, just a few. I don't want my children to feel ashamed of me.
And here we are reading letters like that again. I mean, poverty has never gone away, but it is acute right now in a whole lot of families. Linda, you know, if there's no job, there's no money. And if there's no money, there's no food.
And so we have to look to each other, and we have to do what we can to answer letters like these, to find out, even through our local schools. I've been able to help a family a little bit in my neighborhood that just needs some extra clothes, and I wouldn't have known if I hadn't gone to the school and made an inquiry.
I appreciate your call, and we've got a lot of people responding online. Brian says, can copies of these letters be forwarded to all of the Wall Street executives, et cetera? Heidi writes, maybe we should send these letters to Congress to give them a sense of the real desperation people are facing. They've lost touch with the people they serve. Walt in Madison, Connecticut. Walt, you're on the air.
Tom, thank you for taking this call. Mm-hmm. I was listening to your program, which I believe is excellent, and one of the things that I was questioning is, what does the post office do with these letters that they receive and the information they get, number one? And number two, can these letters be separated by state so that they could send letters to media outlets in each state, and maybe in that respect, somebody who hears it can do something for these children?
Yeah, let's look at a little. Walt, I appreciate your call. Julie, tell us a little more about how that works, because, I mean, you've got thousands and thousands in Chicago. Nationally, there must be millions of these letters. I mean, do you put them all up for a response, or some, or how do you handle them? How do you farm them out? Is that the right phrase?
Well, actually, there are other post offices throughout the country that are doing the Operation Santa.
Mm-hmm.
So we handle the
So it's
letters.
Locale by locale, sort of?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the Operation Santa is when you buy a gift for a family or a child, you have to bring it to the post office. And because we cannot give out the personal information, it has to be mailed to the family.
Okay.
So they're paying postage on it. So
right.
It would be local postage. So
okay.
It is based on the territory.
And people who write in, Gus, do they necessarily get a response? Or maybe they get a response if you can connect them with somebody who, you know, who wants to help?
Well, basically what our volunteers do is they separate them with those that demonstrate a specific need.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have the humorous ones. And then you have the ones with the kids that want a laundry list of toys. And then they search for volunteers. First, they go through the needy ones and try and see if they can help all of those letter writers. And not all of them get answered. You can only do so much. They keep coming in. They start coming in as early as July and August, believe it or not, from everywhere, even from foreign countries. I think America stands out in this particular program because I have complete faith in American people. They're very compassionate, and I think the world does too. And I think what happens here is that while we have needy here, there are people that really do want to help, and we try and connect them with those volunteers and those groups and those organizations and those businesses that really do want to help people.
Gus, I've got a web a question here, comment from Mike in Pennsylvania. Says it's touching. He hopes everyone gives more than they hope to receive this year. But he's also got a question. He says, how does Operation Santa determine the fraudulent letters from the legitimate ones? Do you think you've got fraudulent letters? I'm not sure what that would even mean here, but people pretending that they need socks?
Yeah, it could be. It's difficult. If it's an adult that's writing, you really don't know. It could also be an adult writing for a child. Who knows?
Yeah.
The point is, though, you can really point out those poignant letters from children that are desperate. It's the way they're written. Some are written in crayon and just etched in paper. So you can tell that those are really coming from a child.
Let's go to Irene in Swampscott, Massachusetts. Irene, thanks for calling. You're on the air, Irene.
Hi, Tom. I haven't got much myself, and I'm not even a Christian, but I'm listening to all these calls. And I just want to encourage everybody to give something, anything that they can. And I'm going to encourage you to publicize more just exactly how those of us can get into this Operation Santa. You know, where do we send our checks? Where do we help out? How do we do something for these poor people.
Absolutely. Irene, we've put together everything we can at this point. It's late in the season. I believe the post office response is only open until the end of this day. And we've put what we can at our website, onpointradio.org, about how you can get in touch to help through one of these centers or through your own area. We've also put other charities that are up there and prepared right through this season to be helpful. But yeah, we want to encourage people. And you know, there are a million ways. It can be to a letter, but you don't really need a letter. Look around. You're going to see need in your own backyard. I am sure. I appreciate your call, Irene. Ruth in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Ruth, you're on the air.
I was an elf this week at the Natick Senior Center.
That's one of the helpers who respond to these letters, Ruth, the elf kind of program, yeah?
Yeah, we answered letters from
okay.
kids to mm-hmm. Santa
yep.
that had been left at the public library in a special box.
Okay.
And on the other side of what some people have been saying, I was shocked at the materialism of most of the letters that we received because they were people asking, they were kids, asking for incredible presents.
Well, now you're talking a box in the public library in a pretty well-off community there, I guess, Ruth.
Right. And one of the kids wanted 36 things. Another kid wanted a Mercedes-Benz for his family, and it must be a red one, and it must be new. And another kid wanted all kinds of expensive technological stuff. And I sat for a day reading these letters, and I was shocked and dismayed at the materialism of many of the kids who were writing. wanting things for themselves.
Ruth, I hear that. I guess that's from another thread of letters through a box in the library in a pretty well-off community, though. I mean, nobody's saying here that Christmas is devoid of human greed or self-centeredness. But, Ruth, let me just read one in response to that. Maybe we'll give you a different view of how some kids are looking at this. And, again, this comes out of Gus's mailbag from, I think, a kind of Abilene. And it says, I'm 13 years old. I wish there were peace in the world. I don't like violence. Yeah, I wish that every person that is sick, especially with cancer, could be healed, that the poor could have a place to stay and food to eat. That would make me so happy. And that's out of Augustine Ruiz's mailbag. Maybe an antidote, Ruth. Salt Lake City, Utah. Cindy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I work for the U.S. Postal Service, and all my family knows that. And I have relatives that are underemployed or unemployed, and their children all give me their letters to take to Santa since I work at the post office.
Of course.
And I come here, and I write them back, and since I now am privy to what they want and I know their sizes and that, I'm also Santa Claus.
So you make it happen.
Yep. I'm lucky I have a great job.
Well, what about the need? I mean, do you see it or is it far away from you there in Salt Lake City, Cindy?
In the last 4 years, I've had two of my family members live with me. I've just bought a new home and I have not lived in it by myself. I've had family living with me the whole time I bought my house because they don't have a place to go.
So they have been with you because the need is not just in your community, but right there in your family. I appreciate your call, Cindy, there in Salt Lake. Sean in Amherst, New Hampshire. Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. Hey, Tom, I am a social conservative who is, but I'm also pro-choice. And it's hearing letters like this that, you know, reaffirm that decision for me. I'm pro-life personally, but I think it's immoral that we let children be born into poor families and have to suffer some of this tragedy without giving them a hand up. And it really hits home. And I mean, these kids are suffering and this affects our society. These kids will have a lot of anger and sadness as they go through their whole life. And it's very upsetting. And sometimes I think my fellow conservatives think that support for children begins at conception and ends at birth. Mm. And it's pretty upsetting.
Sean, I admire the way you're paying close attention here and listening to your heart in the middle of all this. I appreciate your call. Tina, how do you see the people who are in your food lines processing this? How are they thinking about this? This is not a small number of people in this country. It's a large number of people. And, you know, there will be Christmas trees with plenty of presents under them at the end of this week. And there will be others where there's no tree and there's nothing. And it's not easy to figure out what to do. How do people think about it? How do they process this reality who are in that situation?
I think that people can either see the good or see the bad. Mm-hmm. They can either witness the miracle or ignore it. And miracles can happen in something as simple as a bag of Bing cherries that a family gets at the food pantry that reminds them of how things used to be and gives them the hope that things are going to get better. There are millions of angels in the outfield out there who are trying to help not only during the holidays, but all year long. Hunger and poverty doesn't magically go away on December 26th. So even though these letters to Santa are so heartwarming and so surprising, we have to remember that there are families that are struggling every day and need our help, and we can be the angels in the outfield to make sure that nobody goes to bed hungry today, tomorrow, or July 4th.
Yeah. Julie, Kenny in Chicago, what's it leave you thinking about our economy and sort of the state of the nation right now when you go through that big stack?
People are hurting. But I do think this shows compassion. When people receive gifts, any anger that they might have had, like the other caller said, I think they feel someone else's compassion. And even after Christmas, we get thank you cards from some families wanting to thank Santa Claus for all that they gave their family. But I do think people are hurting right now.
Gus, can you see it around you in San Francisco?
Yeah, and I think while people are compassionate, they also want to help. I think also what you're seeing is that there is a line of hope out there. The food or the lines at the food banks are getting long. On that note, we do support the food drive on a national food drive. Our letter carriers collect food. This year we were able to collect 77 million pounds wow. of food to replenish the food banks around the country. So we do everything we can. But I think this time of year, I think everybody opens up their heart to everyone else.
Yeah, and kids most of all. Augustine Ruiz in San Francisco with the U.S. Postal Service there. Thank you so much for being with us this hour, Gus.
Thank you.
Tina Asa with Shared Harvest in Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you, and thanks for your good work there, Tina.
Thank you for having me, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you, Tina. And Julie Kenny in Chicago with the Postal Service. Thank you, Julie, so much, and good luck there.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I want to hear it once more just from the children. This is Sharon again. My wish for Christmas is for my mom to be happy again. It's really hard seeing her not be able to provide for us. Just please help in any way you can. I pray, Santa, that you'll brighten up her day. From Sharon. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point.